Hi, this is Matt Welsh with Spiritual Media Blog, and today I'm here with Susan Schwartz, PhD, co-author with Daniela Roher, PhD of Couples at the Crossroads, Five Steps to Finding Your Way Back to Love. Susan, thanks so much for being here with us today.
And thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your book, Couples at the Crossroads. Why did you decide to write it?
Well, we decided to write a book that was going to appeal to people who wanted to think and feel about their relationship. So we didn't want it to be something that would be too easy, follow this recipe, but we wanted people to be able to read the book, discuss it with their partner, discuss it with themselves, and have some thoughtful reflections about their relationship. So that was our purpose in writing the book.
Yeah,
and there's one other thing I would add, which is that we also felt very strongly that problems, difficulties, or crossroads in a relationship are actually normal, they happen all the time, and they're healthy because they allow us to have the opportunity to grow and develop something different.
Well, that's good to hear, because I know some couples just feel like a problem is a major red flag, and it's not necessarily the case. But that being said, like, what are some of the secrets for a successful, intimate, and long-lasting relationship, or how can we overcome some of those obstacles that come up along the way?
Well, you know, one of the things I think that's incredibly important, and of course it's very simple, but the simplest are oftentimes the most difficult, and that is spending some time each day with your partner. And that's not just folding the laundry or something, but really sitting down and saying, so how are we doing? What was good for you today? What was not good? What did you dream about? Did you dream about me? Did I dream about you? I mean, literally dreams. And
yeah.
Night dreams. And just sharing information every day and getting into a rhythm where there's communication. Because that's really key, is the communication patterns that people establish with each other and that they keep those moments together sacred.
Yeah, that sounds like good practical advice. And you brought up dreams. And I know you have a background in Jungian psychology. I'm kind of curious how you've applied some of those principles of Jungian psychology to relationships or working with couples.
Well, in Jungian analytical psychology, the dreams reveal what's going on inside of ourselves and our reaction to our immediate environment and the larger environment, past, present, future. So dreams tell people actually very much about what's going on in their relationship themselves, inside of themselves, and also with their partners. For instance, it's not unusual that people would have dreams of their partner having an affair when the partner is actually having an affair. Or there are dreams of how to heal the relationship and really tells people what they need to do in order to make their relationships more satisfying. So the dreams, because they're just natural, are an absolute, not easy, but they're right there. It's like the nose in front of our face, answers for how we can approach things that are difficult for us. And they show what's going on in the unconscious.
Yeah, I like those examples you gave because they are pretty specific, but how about some other dreams that might be more abstract where we really have no idea why we had the dream? How can we interpret those without necessarily going to paying the money to go to a psychotherapist?
Right. Well, you know, that's why I said about sharing them with your partner. I don't think the issue is so much if the dream interpretation is right, whatever that means. But I think it's the sharing of the information so that both people can puzzle over it and say, my goodness, this what does this really mean? What does this mean about you? What are you grappling with? What are you thinking about? What do you feel? And how are we doing? So it can become a bridge between people sharing their dreams. Again, not with the goal to have the interpretation right, but to be able to share.
Yeah, no, I definitely am hearing you talk a lot about communication and just sharing our basic thoughts, feelings, and interpretations, which seems pretty basic, but probably it sounds like not everyone's doing. And I'm kind of curious how that relates to intimacy, because you write about intimacy. So like, what should a person or what should a couple expect of an intimate relationship?
Well, that's a big question, actually. I think what is very interesting is, and this is something that people can do when they sit down for their daily communication, is, what did you expect of me today? Or what did I expect of you? Because the expectations can sometimes be right on the mark, and they also could be way off base. So I think with expectations, there's this point of being able to communicate what it is that is expected. Unless that is conveyed, people set up ideas, they become disappointed, they become upset, they become envious, they become angry, and only because the things have not been said. So much easier to be able to say, I expect this of you. I'd like you to help me with this. I will do this for you. Let's do this together. And when it's in the open, that creates intimacy. So the intimacy threads that people create with each other can be done in a variety of ways. You know, having, going out together, as I said, sharing dreams, talking about their work together, talking about the issues, their challenges, talking about each other. All of these create the threads of a tapestry which can get people into a closer and more intimate situation. And, of course, their own sexual life and their reactions to each other, so that they keep going and don't become stagnant.
Yeah, that makes sense. Again, it's like really good basic advice, but again, I wonder, probably not every couple is doing that. It also sounds like a very conscious way of trying to work through problems. But I'm also curious, too, about some of your work with Jungian psychology. I know that deals, you mentioned it, with like the unconscious.
Yeah.
So if somebody's talking about like what's on their conscious mind,
yeah,
that might be kind of easy. But how can they get to maybe accessing some of their unconscious blocks? Like they may be having some resistance that they don't even know about. So what are some tools that people can use to get to those unconscious blocks?
Well, that's why I mentioned the dreams. They're oftentimes a very easy way, because they naturally occur, to be able to share and then get people into the feeling of, let's look underneath the situation to be able to find some answers. That's really what the unconscious is. It gets us into different layers of our own psychology. So if, for instance, a couple is having a problem, they might sit down together, not just with how are we going to solve the problem, but what are the many different ways that I feel about this? Then the other person will have different reactions. Then the other one will. And the sharing back and forth will gradually get them into their own unconscious, because our partners reflect back to us things that we can't see. Equally, we put on our partners things that they can't see. So
yeah,
if we can talk about how each one is reacting to the other in an honest way, I think the honest is the issue here, then people can gradually get into what's going on unconsciously. It's not particularly easy to do, but it is definitely worth rewarding.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you brought that up. It definitely isn't easy to do, and sometimes I kind of like to play devil's advocate. So let's just say I've seen this sentiment expressed. I don't necessarily agree with it, but some people would say, it's not worth the risk. You know, the divorce rate's 50%. Many married couples, they try these techniques, they try counseling, but that just sort of deals, and they try honesty, and that just sort of deals with more anger, distrust, and really hopelessness, not just in their marriage, but their life. So why should people even bother trying to repair or build a relationship? Wouldn't it just be better to get a divorce and even try sometimes?
Well, I would say that there are a lot of people who feel that way, but I think that that's only one of the layers of what's going on. I think underneath that, if you look at all of the myths, fairy tales, legends of the world, there always is that place of hopelessness and despair. What am I doing on this road? Get me out of here. This is enough. But as you proceed on the road, you learn more things. And in all the stories of the world, no matter what we look at, as you proceed, there gets to be a magic comb or something that helps you out, and you find your way through. The same thing happens to us in our regular lives. If we stay with it and don't just try honesty, but are honest, don't just try trusting, but stay with it and stay with it and stay with it, we will know that, in fact, if we've given it really all that we need to. You know, some people are not supposed to stay together, so there is that as well. And there are some people who just need to stick with it so that they can set up a different kind of pattern of hope and trust and the ability to rely on each other again and get each other's back.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it sounds like, yeah, they really just need to stick with it and give it their best and see what happens. And I know your book is focused more on helping couples work through their obstacles, but there's probably people out there listening who are single right now, and maybe they've had bad relationships in the past. What can some people who are single out there do to try to get into a relationship if they're not in one right now?
You know, I'm glad that you asked that, because the books, we all have different relationships through our life, and we can learn how to be able to have our present and our future ones even have more worth to them and be more fulfilling. So everything that we talk about in the book, from the way we talk about the brain and people's physical reactions to each other and their emotional reactions, how to be able to build the concept of a team together, these are all things that people who are single actually need to develop as well, because relationships are really an excellent way to learn about ourselves. And so even though we're alone, if we're alone at the time, not in a relationship, we can definitely benefit from reflecting on and seeing ways that we can learn how to communicate better with somebody else and also with ourselves. Because the communication is a many-layered street, and so it goes to a partner, it goes to ourselves, and to everybody that we interact with.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what are some of the reactions that you've gotten from people who have read your book, or just people who you work with individually on using some of these ideas and principles?
Well, usually what people say is, oh, I could see me in that example, or that really gave me hope, or now I see how I can approach that problem, or that was interesting about dreams, for instance, or now I see what I need to do, or why I get so angry, or what happens that it takes so long physiologically for me to get over my frustration, or how I can talk to my partner in a way which doesn't put all of my issues onto them, but that I take responsibility for my issues and they then take responsibility for theirs. So we've had a lot of people quite excited about the variety of ways that we have approached a couple situation, as well as the hope that we put out that the obstacles become opportunities. because we truly believe that that is what happens.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a lot of people really can relate to this stuff in there, and also it sounds like it's really important and meaningful for you to do this type of work. And I'm curious, how did you get interested in writing about this and doing this type of work?
Well, I am a Jungian analyst, and Daniela is a psychodynamic psychotherapist. So both of us have always been interested in the many layers that there are to life. And combined, as we are colleagues, our combined knowledge brought us into even more layers, because we multiply her by ours or mine by hers, and we've got a lot of different layers and many, many different approaches. And so when we in our offices are dealing with couples, or if we're dealing with just one person, the situation of how people relate to themselves inside themselves and themselves in whatever relationship they're in always comes up. It seems to be a natural part of our world. How are people couples? How are you a couple with your friend? How are you a couple with your parents? How are you a couple with your siblings? How are you a couple with your partner? So whatever situation you look at, there are couples all over the place. And we wanted, again, to make this a book that people would understand, not loaded with a bunch of jargon, but filled with ideas that people could chew on and think about with their partners.
Yeah. You know, that sounds great. I'm curious, where can we get a copy of the book or find out more about your work?
Yes. Well, our website is www.couplesatthecrossroads.com. And there is a sample chapter that people can download and read. And they can also get the book at Amazon.com.
That sounds great. We've covered a lot of ground so far, but I just want to make sure there are any other topics or any other parts of the book you feel like it's important to talk about or for our listeners to hear.
Well, I think the one thing I would like to stress is that the combination of material from neuroscience to how couples work to dreams to our own examples that we present of different people that we have worked with and how they have resolved their problems all make a mixture which we find very palatable and which we would love to share with as many people as possible. Because again, and you said this earlier, many, many people decide that the grass is greener someplace else only to find out that they're carrying the same baggage with them. So why not learn where you're at, how to resolve your problems, and how to deepen into yourself and have a rewarding relationship? So that's really what Couples at the Crossroads is about, is developing the rewards in your relationship.
Yeah, no, that sounds wonderful. Then you mentioned neuroscience. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how can we use neuroscience? What do you mean by that? And how can we use that in our communication and relationships?
Well, one of the things that, again, we do in the book is educate people, because the research on the brain right now is phenomenal. And people are finding out how much of our reactions to a partner are stimulated by the brain. So, for instance, the phrase opposites attract is not always really the truth. We oftentimes find who we are familiar with. They're familiar by their habits. They remind us of our earlier life, our childhood, our parents, our siblings, our house, ourselves. So we are very reactive as people. And we oftentimes don't know what we are reacting to, but our brain is reacting for us. So, for instance, when we might have an argument, their hormones, the cortisol levels, tend to rise. And we don't know why we're so mad, but here we have a physiological reaction. Then after the fight, the cortisol comes down, we relax, we're happier, and we make up. having that knowledge just helps. Knowledge makes you feel like, oh, right, now I understand what's going on. So that's why we bring in a lot of material, again, in an understandable way, about what's being found out now in the neuroscience field. It's not the total emphasis of the book, but it's a very interesting and intriguing part.
Yeah, I know. It sounds interesting. It also sounds like you're bringing in some, like, psychoanalytical principles. Like, for example, if we react to someone, are you saying that it might not just be reacting to that person? That person might be triggering a memory that we have as a childhood, but we're not even aware that that memory's there, but we can feel the reaction.
It's we do bring up quite a bit of look back into your earlier life and who it was that influenced you and what is going on and what are you reacting to now unconsciously that really needs to be worked out and dealt with so that you're not carrying issues from the past that could get in the way of your present. So again, we bring in many that our childhoods, which of course are important because they help influence us, many different aspects of who we are as people. And that's really a significant one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and so it's not everybody on the listening will be familiar with some of those theories, but it sounds like we don't even have to necessarily be familiar with how that works. We just have to be aware that if somebody's causing a reaction in us, just to pay attention to that reaction, because that reaction could be stemming from some memory of a childhood. And we don't even have to know exactly what that memory is, but just be aware that there may be something unconscious within us that's triggering that reaction, and that awareness in and of itself can help us have a little more understanding and compassion. Is that accurate for me to say it like that?
It is very much, and as you were talking, I was thinking that would be a way that people could sit down together and reflect with each other, you know, because our partners have much knowledge about us and they see us very differently than we see ourselves. And so if a partner says, you know, I wonder, are you reacting from what happened earlier in your life? Or I see how your parents have treated you. Let's talk about it. Let's open it up. Let's see, is that part of what caused our argument last night? And so if it can be talked about in a way that opens the issues and allows people to breathe into them with compassion, as you say, with understanding, with being on the same team, we call it, then people have each other's back. They feel more trust. They feel like they want to share more because it's a safer environment. And it's the safety that's very important to establish between people as well. And that's a way it can be established. It's by going back into the past and realizing that you can talk with your partner about things that you didn't even realize you were still carrying, but the fight that you had the other day shows that something's going on.
Wow, that would be really, I mean, that really would sound to be really, really great to be able to have that sort of relationship. I mean, it sounds like you work with people who do have that type of communication and relationships.
I think what it means is that people are friends with each other. And in being friends, partners should be friends. In being friends, they will say the most kind and wonderful things and also some of the more difficult things to say, but to say it with compassion and love. And in that way, they build their relationship of solidity and safety and growth and development. I mean, we're not going to grow in an arid environment, but we will grow if we have enough good food and good water and good emotions. And so I think that the being able to face your partner with how you feel and your partner facing you with how they feel is the good kind of food that can help grow a wonderful garden between two people.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. It also sounds like a very positive and uplifting and hopeful kind of mm-hmm. sentiment to end on. So we might just kind of leave it at that, but I'll also kind of give you the last word. If there's any other thoughts, suggestions on your mind, I'll let you kind of have the last word and talk about that right now.
Yes, I would say that going from hopeless to hope is something that is incredibly important, and that all of the ideas and the different aspects that we bring out in the book, Couples at the Crossroads, help people move from, not deny, but move from their place of hopeless, this won't work, to we could find a way through. And we will find a way through together, and we will work it out together.
That sounds great. Well, Susan, thanks so much for being here with us today. Hope everyone enjoyed the call and checks out your book, Couples at the Crossroads, 5 Steps to Finding Your Way Back to Love.
Thank you.